Good morning. Can I just repeat Gareth's welcome for anyone that's not been before? Lovely to see so many new faces here. You're very welcome, and we hope you feel at home with us. Please feel free to stay for lunch. It'd be lovely to sit around and get to know you a bit better. I am disappointed that we're not continuing in the book of Genesis. Many of us have enjoyed hearing what God is doing to all our lives, as we've learned from Genesis. But we are going to take a break for a couple of weeks. So no Genesis today, I'm afraid. But we will be looking at God's word in the book of Romans. They said it's a Zambian mint, so the theme of Zambians is carrying on. Never mind. So if you open up your Bibles, please, we will need the Bible today, as always, and open up Romans chapter 12. It's on page 1139. Romans chapter 12, 1139. We will be reading the whole passage, and my prayer this week has been that we have a glance of Romans 12. We won't be dwelling on anything specific. We'll be having a glance, and by God's grace, I've been praying that the Lord helps us to grow, help us to love Him more, and helps us to have more confidence in what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So, Romans 12. I'm just killing time so that then we're all there. As soon as the pages stop, then I'll carry on. We're amongst friends, so it doesn't matter if I take 30 seconds extra, doesn't it? Okay, so are we there?
Yes.
Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with a sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us, each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If the gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Bear with me. in the year 2000, it was a big year, wasn't it? In the year 2000, something significant happened in my life. My life changed massively. You could say my life was transformed. My way of thinking renewed. Someone was actually prepared to marry me. So I got married. Before that event, I was a free agent. I could get home whenever I liked, ate whatever dinner I liked at whatever time. The toilet seat could be left up, no worries. I wore dodgy clothes and smelled a bit like vinegar, a bit like today. I'm sure you're sitting down there and thinking, where are we going with this? Our chapter today is a letter written by Paul. He was writing to a church in Rome made up of Jews and Gentiles. And the coming together of the two groups brought some tension and a bit of disunity, which can be seen in previous chapters. You see, our chapter starts with the words, therefore, because something had happened before. Something had happened before we got to this part of the letter. A bit like what happened to me when my poor wife agreed to marry me. Things started to change. You see, I had a change of mind. So the church in Rome had a change of mind also. They had experienced a renewing of their minds. Their lives had been transformed. Their way of thinking had been renewed. So what happened, I hear you ask? Good question. What happened to the Roman Christians? What's this thing that happened? What's this big thing? To understand what happened, we need to turn to Romans 1, 18 to 20. You can turn to Romans 1, 18 to 20 if you want, but I'll read it for us. Romans 1, 18 to 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. Well, who is them? It's the Roman Christians. They weren't Christians there. It's the Romans and everyone else. Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what God has made, so that people are without excuse. So, from what God has made, it is very plain that God created that. There's no excuse, because that's exactly what God says in his word. There's a bit more, so we need to then to jump over. Remember, we're looking at what's happened, isn't it? The Romans would have already read this part of the letter, but I'm taking us a little bit back so that then we can travel together. So, if you move again to Romans 3, verse 10 to 12, and this is what we read. I'll read it again for us. So you can imagine they're all listening to this letter being read out. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. No one who does good, not even one. So God was rightly angry with the Romans and all of us and everyone in the world. He was rightly angry with people. Why? Because of the massive problem of sin. So, everyone, the Romans and us and everyone else, deserved to be completely destroyed by God. We were an offense in his sight. We were ridiculous in our behavior. We were offensive to him. So they've read that, and we've read that. Then we find some of the best verses in the Bible. Remember, this letter's going on, isn't it? We're moving on quite quickly. So we've read the picture, we know what's happened, we know God is rightly angry with the Romans, and then see what happens next. So we read Romans 5, you will need to turn to this one. Romans 5, verse 8. Turn with me to Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. So Paul reminds the Roman community church, while you were sinners, Christ died for you. to pay for your sins. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are justified. You are reconciled. You are welcomed back. That horribleness that I just described, all paid for. How? By the death of his son. He swapped places for anyone and everyone at Rome and Silver Street. Anyone that believed that Jesus died for them, swapped places with Jesus. So God looks at us. Do you know who this is? He says Jesus, because I said he's swapped places with us. So what's happened is while we were still sinners, there was absolutely nothing good about them, nothing absolutely good about us. It's while we were dead in our sins, while we were still sinners, what did he do? Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Wow! That's exactly what he did. So, how are they to respond to this overwhelming love? How do they respond, I hear you ask? How? Then we start our passage. Therefore, by offering yourselves, we see that in verse 1 to 2, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the way to respond. How do you respond to that overwhelming love? By offering your body as a living sacrifice. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You see, friends, once you start looking at life through the lens of the cross, you will want to do this. You will want to give everything, everything to him who died for you in view of the cross. It's a bit like a few years back, before the kids arrived, Janice and I were walking up at Forty Hall. You know, there's lakes in there at Forty Hall, if you've ever been. And what happened is, while we were walking, I don't know how far it was, there was this sign that said something. It was a ridiculous distance. And I said to Janice, that's funny, isn't it? Fancy putting a sign so far that it can't be read. And she said to me, you mean the one that says no fishing allowed? It was clear that I needed glasses. See, if I take my glasses off, I can just about see all of you, but I can't see your reaction. But with them on, it's amazing what I see around. There's smiling faces, there's not very smiling faces. This wasn't part of my notes, by the way. But anyway, so putting my glasses on, life is amazing. So now I'm able to respond to people walking past that know me and say hello. I'm able to respond to the lovely creation that God's made. The greens are lovely. With my glasses on, life is lovely. Looking at life through the lens of the cross of our Lord Jesus is fantastic. Friends, I don't know if you're a bit like me when without the glasses you start to worry. Without the glasses, things seem amazingly difficult. With the glasses on, him who died for you while you're still sinners, if he can do that for you, how much more can he not do for you? Do you know what I mean? There's nothing that can be compared to that with the glasses on. So let your bodies that once served sin now serve King Jesus. A radical change is needed. That radical change is not needed by your own strength. Luke was saying the other week, isn't it? It's not about peddling hard yourselves. It's about grace. So yes, a radical change is required, but you need his help. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So yes, a radical change is required, but with your willingness, call on the name of the Lord. He will help you. So, how do they respond? By offering their bodies as a living sacrifice. Living because Jesus has made you and them alive. I say them, I'm talking about the Roman Christians. Friends, giving things to God does not interest God at all. He is interested in you. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your entire body. Not just part of it, the whole of you. It's not things that interest him, it's you. This is true worship. That includes your lips, your mouth, your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your mind. Now, please don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is not that when you give yourself to Christ, then you become a Christian. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm saying. You get saved first. You trust and believe that Jesus has done that for us. You trust that he's done that for you. You believe in him first. After you believe in him, then you respond. Then you give your body back to him. Do you see what I mean? So it's not respond and then become a Christian. No, no, no. You become a Christian and then you give yourself to him. You mustn't misunderstand that, Pete. So we give our bodies to him after becoming Christians. Does that make sense? Thank you. So, as I said, giving things to him does not interest him at all. So, look at verse 2. So, don't let those around you shape you. Instead, let the gospel shape you. Have those gospel glasses on all the time. Then you'll be able to test and see and approve what God's will is. So don't let Facebook, Arsenal Football Club, Bake Off, CBBC shape your life. No! Let the gospel, God's word, shape you. Just ask him and he will help you to offer your body as a living sacrifice. I can hear you ask again, how can I give myself to pleasing God? Thank you. Another good question. How do I give myself to pleasing God? Let's see if this works. Right click. Ah, so in view of God's mercy, through God's mercy. That's easy to remember, isn't it? So how do we do it? In view of God's mercy, through God's mercy. Let's say it together. How do we do it?
In view of God's mercy, through God's mercy.
Oh, that is so encouraging. Thank you. I'm glad you're with me. That's just it. How do we do it? In view of God's mercy, through God's mercy. You see, what Paul does, he responds to the Roman Christians by unpacking how that response is seen. So it's seen at church and outside church. So we're going to look at two different bits. We'll start off first at church. How do you respond in action? How do we see this in action? How do you give yourself? So through your behavior at church, in view of God's mercy, through God's mercy. Paul refers the Romans first to their behavior at church. In order to behave in the right way, you need to be transformed in your mind by the Spirit. Important to remember, it's by the Spirit, not by your efforts, by him helping us. A change of behavior is required through God's mercy. You need to have a realistic view of the gifts God's given you. Yes, you'll be tempted to think highly of yourself. We will be all tempted to think highly of ourselves. You need to resist that. Instead, have a sober judgment of your gifts. Perhaps before you thought highly of yourself, you'd think, yeah, at church, I'm the best at welcoming people. That guitar, no one can strum it as good as me. The piano, no one can come anywhere near me. I am best at singing. Encouragement, oh, I'm number one. Stop! In view of God's mercy in Jesus, don't think highly of yourself. We need his help. Verse 5, if you look down to verse 5. In Christ, though we are many, we form one body. Christ is the head, and we are all members of the body with different functions. So, remember, we're looking at it from our behavior at church. So we belong to each other. Yes, even I belong to you, and you belong to me. That's what verse 5 says there. We belong to each other, and I belong to you. It's a bit like, I don't know if you ever watched Formula 1. I used to hate Formula 1, but my father-in-law, we used to go to my father-in-law for lunch, and he'll put it on every time, so I had no choice but to watch it. Anyway, so in Formula 1, what happens is they go round and round and round and round. And at some point, they pull up in the garage, in the paddock, where a group of men and women will be waiting to work on the car. So there will be a man whose responsibility, or a woman whose responsibility, is to put the fuel in. They don't do that anymore. And someone else will be changing the tire. Someone else will be cleaning the visor. Someone else is to adjust the wing on the car. And then there will be someone else who's working on the computer, taking in all that information. Do you know what? All the time that I've watched Formula 1, there's never once that I've seen a tire man says, well, now, get out of the car. It's my turn to have a go because I've had enough of changing tires. You get out, I'll have a go at driving you. That would be a ridiculous thing to do, wouldn't it? You see, the tire man knows his job. The one on the computer knows her job. The one that cleans up, they all know what they're doing. They're all one team working for the same purpose. If you start changing your responsibility, it's not going to work. You will not compete. You will not compete in that race. They all knew their things. The tire man has 3 seconds to change the tire, and they did do it in 3 seconds, some of them. It's amazing. Friends, we are a bit like that, aren't we? The team, as I say, need each other, otherwise they wouldn't compete. We have different gifts in our fellowship, but we're all gifted to do different things, but for one purpose. What's that purpose? To build each other up. So whatever gift you have is to build the rest of the body. And it's the same thing that Paul was saying to the Roman Christians. Same thing that you're saying to them. If you look with me in verse 6. Notice we are all gifted differently, but by the same grace. All gifted by grace for the benefits in a way that does not threaten or offend the other members. Yes, members are gifted by grace differently, but with one purpose, the good of the whole body. So, no one can come to church and think, I don't think I can be involved at church at all. We can all be involved in offering ourselves to Him. No one has a better gift. No one has a better gift than someone else. We are all gifted differently through God's mercy. You see, once you put on those grace glasses again, you see that when you go to church, whatever way God's gifted you, it's not about you actually. It's not about my strumming my guitar. It's not about my piano. It's not about my welcoming. It's about building each other at the church for the benefit of the whole congregation. So, as I was saying, we are all gifted in different ways. If you look down to verse 7, if your gift is serving, what do? You?
Serve.
If it's instructing you?
Strong.
If your strong point is encouraging you?
Encourage.
Actually, if it's giving, you do it without fuss. You give without fuss, perhaps not even anyone knowing you're giving. If it's leading, you do it diligently. You do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, ask yourself, how can I serve and be a benefit to the body of Christ, the church? So, this is really exciting. Every Christian is gifted by Christ. Can you imagine that? No, if the person that you're sat with is a Christian, or next to you is a Christian, they are gifted. Isn't that wonderful? Not gifted by you or anyone else. Gifted by Christ. So everyone that's here that's a Christian today, if you've come today thinking, oh, actually, I'm not. No, you are gifted. You are precious. Gifted to do something specific to build up the body of Christ. I find that really exciting. Because you probably think I'm just making this up. Sometimes I don't think I'm gifted enough to do certain things. But this has really encouraged me. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you've come today thinking that you haven't got the ability to do anything, nonsense. The Lord Jesus is the one who gifts you to do whatever you need to do. So, every Christian is gifted by Jesus. So, through God's mercy, our behavior is being transformed by offering ourselves at church. So, through God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, and?
Through God's mercy.
Oh, thank you. In view of God's mercy, and?
Through God's mercy.
Can we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? I think I've got one more. Let's have a look. So God's will. So I said, so He's unpacked how that looks like a church. We don't think highly of ourselves, and we know we're gifted by the same grace to build up each other. We're one body, but different functions. So we looked at church. And then it turns to our behavior outside of church, our personal behavior, and our behavior slightly outside church. So remember, it's a letter, isn't it? I know we're diving in and applying it to us, but I was running out of time, so I thought we'll merge everything together. So, God's will for us personally, in our personal behavior. So our behavior in all other parts of life has to be viewed in God's mercy in Jesus. Those glasses never should come off. I know I'm taking mine off, but you should never take them off. Those glasses have to stay on all the time. So in view of God's mercy, we are held. So love must be real and really hate what is evil. Again, honor others above yourselves. This one keeps coming up. Honor others above yourselves. Have nothing to do with idleness. Time wasting. Be productive in the Lord. Yes, keep that hope going in the Lord and be patient when in pain. and faithful in prayer. If you look down to verse 13, have a look around at church and see who is in need. You're not called to put up a massive spread. Just use whatever you have. If it's a couple of tea bags, do a couple of tea bags. Have someone around. Show hospitality. He's not calling us to like put up a huge spread. Entertain with what you've got. The gospel is living, and that's the way we live out the gospel. By just using what we have. By being sincere in our love. Yes, persecution will come, and it's part of being a Christian. And we see that in verse 14. And be part of those rejoicing and mourn with those that are mourning. Again, verse 16. Don't be proud, but be friends with everyone, like the one who gave himself for you did. Please don't get people back when they wrong you in a bad, evil way. Instead, as far as you can live at peace with everyone. This is not always easy, especially when you're defending the gospel. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Get out of the way and let God deal with it. But instead, respond with kindness. That requires grace, isn't it? Because the natural response to someone that's being unkind is to be unkind back. So, again, those gospel glasses. He was insulted all the way to the cross, but he didn't retaliate, but instead he responded with kindness. That's the way we have to behave. By his grace, he will help us. So in view of God's mercy in Jesus, offer yourselves gladly and willingly, because he will enable you to. Friends, I realize that I'm talking mainly to Christians here. I realize that there's some people here that are still offering their bodies to all sorts of things. There are people here that haven't given their lives to Jesus just yet. You see, it's impossible, totally impossible for you to offer your body as a living sacrifice if you've not trusted in Jesus. There's a bit in the Bible that says there's a day of judgment coming. So today is the day of salvation. So I plead with you, if you've not accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, if you're coming in, trying to come in any other way apart from Jesus, apart from through Jesus' death on the cross, I urge you that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but people die. The Lord Jesus could come back next week. And if I don't tell you today that Jesus paid for everyone's sin that will look to him, if I don't tell you today that if you refuse the salvation that Jesus gives to every man and woman through his death and his resurrection, then I'm not being kind to you. So I'm telling you, friend, you need to turn today. That salvation is available today. Do you know why he was nailed to the cross? In place of me, in place of you, if you trust in him. All my rottenness, all my wicked thoughts, all my pride, all my selfishness was laid on him on the cross. He willingly took them on the cross for me and for you if you trust in him. He died. I should have been on that cross. Do you know what? The worst bit was, he was separated from the Father. He was alone. He was in darkness. He experienced darkness and wrath. And do you know why he was doing that? I was still celebrating in my sins. I was still rebelling against him. And yet he did that for me. Isn't that amazing? While I was still a sinner, Christ did that, Jesus died for me and did that for me. So I am telling you, brothers and sisters, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn. No one can do this for you. You need to do it yourself. No one can believe for you. Not your dad, not your mom, not your cousin, not your husband. You've got to do it yourself. And today is the day of salvation. The Bible says if you don't turn, hell is coming. Judgment day is coming. You're going to be going where that fire doesn't stop. You'll be burnt up forever. Not just 2 weeks, not 2 months, all the time. As I say, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just giving it to you as the Bible says. But there's a way of coming out of this. Believe in trust and trust in Jesus. He died and rose again on the third day. The Bible says the women went to the tomb. Do you know when they got to the tomb? They found the man sitting there. The stone rolled away. Where have you put him? They said. Is it Jesus Christ you're looking for? They said. He's risen. He's no longer dead. He has risen. Do you know what the women did? They ran off to go and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. Friends, I want to run to you today to tell you that he has risen. He's alive today. You need to believe and trust him for yourself, such that if you die or if he comes back again, do you know where you're heading? Heaven. because he has done it for you by his grace. So, where did we start? So, I urge you to believe and trust in him. If you would like to know a bit more about that, perhaps ask a Christian friend that's brought you here, or you can speak to Gareth who led, or Luke, or one of the people that were playing music. I'm sure they'll be able to explain that a bit further. But I'm urging you today to give your life to him so that therefore you can do that, so that you can offer your bodies as a... Oh, thank you, Gareth. Yes. Thank you. But it's impossible to do that. First you need salvation, then you can offer your body to him in gratitude to what he's done for you. Yes? If you go away from here not remembering anything, all I want you to know is that we have a response to make to the one who died for us while we're still dead in our sins. I find that amazing. You know, when someone offends you, the last thing you want to do is to spend time with him. He died for me when I was still... I'm going on, isn't I? How long have I been going on? Oh, wow, yes, I need to finish. Okay. So, I urge you to turn and believe. God's mercy was demonstrated to us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. In response to his love, we are to ask him to enable us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. At church, at home, at school, at work, all to his glory, and he will enable you to do that. I need to stop. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the one who gave himself up while we were still sinners. Heavenly Father, if it wasn't for you taking that initiative, we would still be dead in our sins. But we thank you that by your grace, you have redeemed us from the old way of living. You have purchased us by your precious blood, allowing your body to be broken for us on that cross while we were still sinners. What amazing love. We beg of you, please, Lord, that this week will be a week where we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice because of what you've done for us in our Lord Jesus. Please help us to behave in the right way at church, to behave in the right way outside church. And may we use our gifts in building up your church in the way that you've called us to use our gifts. But Lord, we want to pray for those that are still dead in our sins this morning. Please, by your grace, may they be someone today who says, yes, Jesus died in my place on that sin, and I want to live for him from today. Please, Lord, be merciful and gracious. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we'll stand to sing. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Thank you for listening to me. And we will stand to sing as the music starts.